The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. I'm Dan Thomas, joined in the studio by Shagger Hislop. A little later on in the show, Alessandro Del Piero and Gab Marcotti are here to talk about the deepening crisis at Juventus. Also joining us later, Frank Leboeuf to discuss another League Cup victory for Manchester City. We start, though, in La Liga. Take a look at this and how things stand with just five matches remaining. We saw Atletico Madrid lose away against Athletic Bilbao by 2-1. Meanwhile, for Barcelona, a 2-1 victory away against Villarreal puts them in the driving seat to win La Liga, given they have a game in hand. Let's welcome, shall we, to the show, Ali Moreno. You brought this up last week. Right then, Atleti, it's big boy time. Can you go to the Basque Country? Can you get something up against a tough Athletic Bilbao? And that answer, how much does that tell us about their title credentials?
As I told you a couple of weeks ago, Dan, when we were discussing time and time again who's going to win this title, and at that point I was leaning towards Real Madrid, well, kiss of death, by the way, Atletico Madrid was the one that I said, they're not going to win it. And this is the reason why they're not going to win it. Think about the big games this season, the big moments in which you needed Atletico Madrid to really get a hold of the title, to really say, you know what, we are worthy of winning La Liga this year. And I go back to both of the matches against Real Madrid. The first one that was embarrassing how bad they were. The second one in which they allowed Real Madrid to come back and tie that game 1-1. It just doesn't feel like Atletico Madrid has a real certainty and a true belief that they were going to win this. And once the momentum started going in the wrong direction, they haven't been able to stop it. And we thought, well, you know what? They beat Eibar, very good. They beat Huesca, very good. Is that enough? No, because we needed to see it today. And although we saw a reaction and they were back in the game and it was 1-1, they were pushing forward, there's this doubt that is just all over Atletico Madrid right now. And eventually they give up a goal in a manner in which we would think Atletico Madrid would be scoring, in a corner kick. How many times have we seen Atletico Madrid late in a match score off a corner kick and save themselves and get 3 points? Now we're seeing it go the other way. Now they're giving up late goals in set pieces, unlike Atletico Madrid, but that's been out of first place continues, and to me right now Atletico Madrid are going the wrong direction and it feels like maybe Barcelona's trending.
Well, this is it, and this is the point that you made just a few days ago. Fate in Barcelona's hands even before this weekend, but what that means is, for example, you could draw against Atleti on May the 8th and you can still go on and win La Liga if you win the remaining matches. You'd be very... What am I looking for, Ali? I think very much the safe bet at the moment is Barcelona, isn't it?
Yes, and this is when Barcelona fans, beware. Please, really run and hide at this very moment, because what I'm going to tell you has not worked out for Atletico Madrid and has not worked out for Real Madrid. I thought Atletico Madrid was never going to come back to the pack. Well, they have. I thought Real Madrid, after El Clásico, they were the ones that looked more likely to win this thing. Kiss of death again. They are not the ones. Right now, Barcelona fans, listen carefully. You are the favorites. You should be winning La Liga. You should be beating Granada on Thursday and then take a whole first place and then go into that match against Atletico Madrid, understanding very well what's needed. Barcelona are the favorites. They have the inside track. It's in their hands. And it should be up to Barcelona to win La Liga. Real Madrid and Atletico Madrid are going to fade away.
Well, should we double kiss the death, Shaka? Should I ask you what you're going to think? I think at one stage this season you didn't see Barcelona finishing in the top four.
That's not entirely true, Dan. We were asked for crazy predictions.
What?
We were asked for to give a crazy prediction.
I've never asked you for a crazy prediction.
I'm just telling you how
on this show.
How
on that this was, show, I asked you, and you said you didn't couldn't see it happening.
Couldn't see Barcelona winning,
finishing in the top four.
We were asked for crazy predictions. I remember specifically, and that's what I went with. I went with Barcelona officials say top four. Atletico Madrid winning the Champions League, none of which have worked out quite so well.
Well, there we go. Thanks for that, Shaq. Crazy predictions of wonder. That's much appreciated.
Anytime, Dan.
Speaking of crazy predictions, who would have thought at the start of the season we would discuss the possibility of Juventus not qualifying for the Champions League? But that's where we are. Another bad result for them today. They can only manage a 1-1 draw away against Fiorentina. That, coupled with Atalanta thrashing Bologna, means that it's so tight. Napoli, meanwhile, in action against Monday against Torino. We are in a world where Juve may not qualify for the top four. Well, let's welcome in, shall we, Gabriele Marcotti and Alessandro Del Piero to reflect on what happened in Italy. Ali, let's start with your former side. Juventus again far from convincing.
Yeah, unfortunately, yes, from my hard side. I mean, it's been a while now that they're struggling a little bit and we're facing a strong team. They got punished. Tonight, you know, they were able to come back in the second half after the first one that was honestly quite horrifying. But the second half with amazing goal by Morata, they stay up. But the run for the fourth place is still on and they need to be careful.
Did Pirlo get his tactics wrong, Ali, going into this, not starting a striker, not starting Morata with Dybala playing instead?
No, I mean, Dybala came back from a great comeback. He scored even a goal last Sunday. So, you know, it was good to put him inside and have Morata as a backup player, let's say, like this. But, I mean, it's not anymore who you put on the field, because Pirlo, who better than him, see the players during the week to see who's in more shape or more convince him more than the other ones. It's the way that the approach of the game that is missing so many times from different formations. So that is a big things to change. It's not easy at this point of the season to do it.
Gav, is it simple enough to say if Juventus qualify for the Champions League, Pirlo stays? If they don't, he's gone?
Well, that's kind of what Fabio Paratici, Juve's director of football, sort of indirectly implied. He said, we're not contemplating finishing outside the top four. It simply won't happen. And to which then they asked him, well, does that mean then that Pirlo's going to stay if you finish top four? And he says, of course, Pirlo's going to stay because we're going to finish top four. Look, I wouldn't put any stock on it. I refuse to believe that any football club would go and make a decision like this just based on, well, if we're fourth, then he stays, and if we're fifth, then he's definitely gone. I mean, any serious organization would sit down, evaluate Pirlo's work at the end of the season. It's possible that he could finish top four, top three, top two even, and not be considered the right man, and then conclude that he hasn't done enough to convince him. It's also possible that he could finish fifth, sixth, or seventh and say, you know what, we're on the right track. Let's go with him. I mean, if I refuse to believe Juve would simply go down, go by results and like tick the box, because, you know, if that was the case, then Sarri would have stayed. Allegri would still be here. Conte maybe even. I mean, I don't think so. I wouldn't. I think these are just things that football people say. I don't think Fabio Paratici has any idea. He may have an idea what he might want to do, but I really wouldn't expect him to go and make some sort of definitive decision now. Sure, they would love to keep Pirlo, and they would love Pirlo to lead them where they want to go.
Well, of course, the romance of the story is perfect, but Gab, are we in any sort of situation where it's to go, right, look, we've got to qualify for the Champions League. We need it financially. We need it to draw new players in. Is there any scenario in which they go, right, we'll get rid of Pirlo now, say bring back Max Allegri just to get us over the line?
I don't think so. I think it would be expensive. It would be difficult. I think the downside, if then you get it wrong, is going to be absolutely brutal, because Allegri is going to be expensive. And you're bringing him a few games, and then in the summer, Allegri's going to be like, well, hang on a minute. When I was here, I had this guy and that guy and that guy. What do I have now? So, they said very clearly what their direction of travel is. And like I said, if it's not Pirlo, it's going to be somebody who's going to have similar concepts, but hopefully execute them better. Bringing back Allegri would mean not just investing more money into the squad, money which they wouldn't have if they finish outside the top four, or even likely they're going to be a difficult spot even if they do finish top four. And it would mean abandoning their plan, kind of ripping up the blueprint once again. And I just don't think that would be good for the club. Then again, football clubs make bad decisions all the time.
Ali, what do you think?
Nothing better than what Gabriele said, because the problem at this point is if they don't finish fourth, it's not Pirlo. It's who you can bring for the next year. They still have players to be paid, and are Ronaldo going to stay without the Champions League? And Dybala, that is the biggest question. And then the big question about economic side, that Juve is struggling a lot about economics, so not getting into the Champions League, it means a lot of effort from the ownership to recover that debt. So Pirlo, from my point of view, is the last problem that they have.
Ali, just put into perspective how much of a disaster this would be if Juventus didn't qualify for the Champions League.
Well, emotionally, it's a disaster. After 9 years, you know, winning the title and looking for the 10th, it would be a disaster emotionally already. But the fact that knowing going to the Champions League, of course, you know, as a sponsorship side, as a project with Pirlo and with some of the players, need to be adjusted quickly. So first question is, what's going to be with Ronaldo? What's going to happen?
Right.
Are you going to stay? Can he stay? Does he want to stay without the Champions League? I mean, he's a big guy in Champions League. He won quite a lot. So he's looking for more records. So probably at the end of the summer, at the beginning of the summer, he say, you know what? Sorry, guys, we're not in the Champions League. I want to discuss me leaving for another club that play in the Champions League.
Gab?
Well, it's interesting because, look, in the end, Ronaldo will have 1 year left on his contract. It's going to be up to him. I think nobody would begrudge him if he said, look, I'm setting all these Champions League records. As Ale says, you know, the clock is ticking for me. I'm going to go somewhere else. I think in those circumstances, the club, you know, they're not going to keep him against his will. They would let him go. They would save a tremendous amount of money in wages, and that would sort out the wage bill in the immediate. But then remember this, if Ronaldo leaves, Dybala's contract, I think he's going to have a year left at that stage. Morata's only on loan, so you need to find some money to keep him, assuming you want to keep him. You don't have any other strikers. You don't have too many players that you can sell and actually get money back for. And that you want to sell. Obviously, you know, De Ligt is worth something, but you don't want to sell De Ligt. So maybe Demiral. I genuinely don't know who else. Chiesa, they don't even know yet. They don't even own him out, right? So it is a very tricky situation. There's positions they absolutely have to strengthen, especially in central midfield. So it's a very, very difficult situation that they're in. But as Ale says, if, you know, Pirlo, I think, is, if they don't qualify their top four, Pirlo is the least of their problems. Like, to me, those two issues are entirely separate.
So, Gab, if Napoli beat Torino on Monday, just 2 points separate second and fifth. Who are your favourites then to qualify for the Champions League?
Well, Inter, I think, are pretty sure. I'm pretty sure
yes,
they're going to qualify
yes,
for
Gab,
the Champions
yes,
League.
Yes, Gab, yes, we know that.
I still think Milan are going to, Milan are really, really scared. They're really terrified. They have a huge game coming up against Lazio. I think if they can navigate that, I think Milan are going to be fine. You know, last time you asked me this, I told you Napoli and Lazio. Sorry, Napoli and Juve. Having seen Atalanta again tonight, they're a machine. Mm-hmm. I think it's going to come down to Atalanta and Juve just. But I think that's simply because Napoli also have a lot of issues behind the scenes. But I'll tell you what, I reserve the right to change my mind week after week.
And I'll remind you week after week. Meanwhile, Ali, it's incredible we're having this discussion about who's going to finish in the Champions League, considering that everything that's happened this week off the pitch regarding the Super League plans that are then quickly thrown out. What do you make of it all?
It's a particular moment for Italian football. We're going on for years now to come back and compete with the bigger, for the Premier League, to the Liga, La Liga, and, you know, and to compete at that level. It's only Juve in the last 10 years have that strain. Inter, made the final last year. You know, you see something that's coming up, but not enough. So we need definitely, you know, a better position when we're going to play in the Champions League or Europa League, you know, when you play international games. Something that you show, well, it deserves to be here. And slowly every team, I would say slowly, but it's not that slowly, every team try to make their own identity. You know, Inter now, they take their own identity, they're going to win this title, and, you know, they're going to have a big voice on the chapter, but they need to deal with what's going on at the club, because there's some problem and some issue about that. Milan, again, they pick a choice to stay with Pioli and Ibrahimovic. That's a too big call, especially I like both, honestly, in this situation. But they need to grow. They need to grow in order to become the Milan, the one that we know, in order to compete for the Champions League and to go in the Champions League regularly. And then we have all the time, you know, Lazio that is doing amazing things, to be honest, for the amount of money that they invested. They're incredible players. They cannot do more than that, from my point of view, because it's very, very tough to play Italian league or your own league and the Champions League as well. It's not easy. And then we have a big question mark about Atalanta that is a big smile that when everybody talk about Atalanta, because there's a huge project, you know, they're going so well. They play with young people, they sell great players, they perform amazing, and they're actually at this moment the only Italian club that can play at the rhythm, physical and psychological rhythm in the Champions League. So these clubs have to be improved a lot, honestly, a lot in order to compete for the title.
It's a big day tomorrow in Italy, isn't it? If you consider that Napoli have the chance to move up to 66 points alongside Juve, they're away against Torino. Meanwhile, Lazio taking on Milan. Those games back-to-back on ESPN Plus coverage starting at 12:30 Eastern.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at lectricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com.
For the fourth year in a row, Manchester City are the League Cup champions, defeating Spurs by 1-0. Pep Guardiola's side in complete control of this game from start to finish. It would prove to be Laporte's goal, though, in the 82nd minute that proved to be the winning one. As we welcome in, back from his holiday for the Carabao Cup final, Frank Leboeuf is with us. Frank, sometimes you kind of go into game and it can prove to be a bit of a surprise. This wasn't. It's pretty much played out exactly as you would expect, maybe with Manchester City not winning by the same margin that they deserved.
Exactly, Dan. Nothing much to say about that game, but that Manchester City really deserved to win that trophy because they did everything during that game. Nothing much to say about Tottenham. Tottenham, without any surprises, didn't do anything, like they didn't do anything during this whole season long. They defended, tried to defend, maybe counting on some counter-attack, but nothing happened. And very disappointing performance. I was trying to believe on the fairy tale, you know, for Mason getting the job and finding a way to get his first trophy as a head coach of Tottenham Hotspur. But no, they didn't deserve to win. They didn't do anything to win. And Manchester City was far more superior to the Spurs, and they could have won like maybe 4-5, 6-0 easily. It was just a time of when they would find a solution, and the Frenchman Laporte did it for them, and they won their fourth trophy in the League Cup in a row, and it's fully deserved for them.
Shaka, from a Spurs perspective, going into this final, you thought, right, the dark shadow of Jose Mourinho has passed. Mm-hmm. We can turn the page on that era. Coming to this game, we've got nothing to lose. Let's give it all out there. Leave it all on the pitch and try and test this brilliant Manchester City side. They did nothing.
Absolutely nothing. And this performance left me with far more questions than answers, not just about Spurs, but the thinking, Daniel Levy's thinking in hiring Ryan Mason. Now, as you look at this performance, this 90 minutes was all about Jose Mourinho. Yet, you sack him just under a week ago. You're bringing a new young manager, and the expectation from someone like me looking in from the outside is that the football is going to be different, that he has a better... He is more in tune with the dressing room and some of the frustrations of players like Harry Kane and Heung-Min Son around Jose Mourinho's style. Yet everything about this game screamed Jose Mourinho. There was no departure from what we've seen of Spurs all season long and today.
Was that tough, though, for Ryan Mason, considering you just have the team, what, a couple of days? Like,
but,
what do you expect?
Well, I don't mean this as a criticism of Ryan Mason. He was thrown in at the deep end and had asked to do a job that clearly he was not prepared, equipped, or experienced to do. What else is he supposed to do in this situation? But you're Daniel Levy. You're tired of Jose Mourinho and that style. You feel that the dressing room is fractured around what he's asking so many players to do. You decide, even though, was it 2 years ago, you make this decision to bring in a manager who promises silverware. A week before the first cup final of that manager's tenure, you decide to let him go. For what reason, at this point, it's hard for me to even offer an explanation. You have a decision to make as to who inherits that hot seat. You want someone, you're going to guess, someone who is more in touch with the dressing room, someone who will promise a different style of football, someone who will do things differently, changes, create some kind of a knee-jerk reaction in a very talented squad, and you look at who you have in your backroom staff. Ledley King, I'll offer you an out. Maybe Ledley does not want that hot seat. Maybe he doesn't want to be a first-team manager, a coach, even on a caretaker basis. You have two people working within your academy. You have Chris Powell with nearly 700 career games, who has managed three clubs, been caretaker twice, served as an assistant twice, and that's not including the role that he currently plays in Gareth Southgate's English dressing room, in his backroom staff. And you have Ryan Mason, who has 145 career games, a handful of those at the Premier League level, no other coaching experience. You take a look at those two CVs, and we have to assume that Daniel Levy is a very intelligent man, given the things that he's accomplished in this game. How can anyone, apart from the obvious to me, make a case for Ryan Mason being the choice given those two CVs sitting on your desk? And that is the frustration of people like me who look at what's going on in the game, look at who's been given chances to manage clubs, and the frustrations and the arguments that come with it. And then you see Daniel Levy, a football man, do this, given the glaring evidence before you. So, I've been on my soapbox for the last week, Dan, so excuse me. So now I look at Spurs, and while there is a lot of room for criticism around their performance, while maybe there may be room to criticize Ryan Mason, I don't think that that's his burden to bear. He did as best as he could, as best as someone with just as much managerial experience as you and me could do in that situation. Now, maybe we're hoping for the fairy tale that this young manager comes in against Pep Guardiola and somehow upsets the apple cart. And but for one set piece and one incredible save from Zach Steffen, maybe we have that story. That being said, I agree with you, Manchester City by far the better of the two teams, totally dominated, deserving of that win. But maybe there was a fairy tale. Now, again, if you are a football man, if you are in charge of one of world football's biggest names, you cannot hedge your bets on a fairy tale. And that, for me, is where Spurs went wrong. Not about Mason's setup, not about his tactics, not about his substitutions or any way that he lacks in comparison to Pep Guardiola, but simply, as a club, I have to question whether Spurs wanted to win this trophy at all.
We're turning into a nightmare season, isn't it, for Spurs? A lot more reaction to what happened at Wembley, a special podcast that we put together straight after the game. Craig Burley with me, Jurgen Klinsmann, Alexis Nunez, Nader Manua, and more of Frank LaBeouf. You can download that now over on the website or on Apple Podcasts. We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. What a day in France. Monaco with a 1-0 victory over Angers to keep them very much in the title race. But the big story, Lille coming from behind to beat Lyon by 3-2 to put them 1 point clear at the top of the table with just 4 matches remaining. Frank LaBeouf is back with us. Frank, what a game.
It's a crazy game, and we all say, you know, and I always sometimes say that if you don't have any mistakes, you don't have any goals, and crazy mistakes from both teams. And the last one, I don't understand Marcelo. He sees Burak Yılmaz alone. He just have to move forward to play the offside. He's an experienced player, he doesn't do it. And it kicks Lyon out of the title race. They had to win that game to be close to everybody. And Lille is stubborn, doesn't want to let it go, doesn't want PSG to be the champion. They have bad results at home. They drew the last day against Montpellier. 15 days ago, they lost at home against Nîmes, but they won at the Parc des Princes against Paris Saint-Germain. Today, they won against Lyon, and they have their future in hands. And if they win their last 4 games, they're going to be the next champion of France.
That's it, Frank. 4 games for Lille, 4 finals, and you are the champions no matter what anybody else does. Can they do it?
Yeah, they can do it. They have the spirit, they have the coach for that. Christophe Galtier is a good friend of mine. He's somebody from Marseille. He has a big spirit. He doesn't want to let it go. He's going to do everything to make sure that Paris is not champion. And he has the team for that. The spirit that they showed today, losing 2-0 away from home and coming back into the game, like as you said, with a fantastic free kick from Yılmaz a minute before halftime, showed that they are capable of doing that because they have the character for that. And if they do it, they can get the 12 points. They have good games and good team that they can, I would say, easily win against. And they can be champion. But Paris is going to put a big, big pressure for sure. And it's going to be a fantastic final. Because don't forget about Monaco. Monaco is doing great as well. And they can be the big surprise.
It's going to be brilliant, isn't it? Frank LaBeouf, thank you very much. Frank joins us on Extra Time, by the way. As always, you can check that out over on our YouTube channel.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
What a dramatic weekend in the Bundesliga. On Saturday, we saw Bayern Munich lose against Mainz, meaning that they haven't quite confirmed the championship yet. That coupled with Leipzig and their win on Sunday means that there is still a mathematical possibility of Leipzig catching them. Meanwhile, it's really all about the race for a Champions League place, with Borussia Dortmund beating Wolfsburg 2-0 on Saturday, Bayer Leverkusen meanwhile defeating Frankfurt, meaning that just 2 points separate third, fourth and fifth in Germany with three matches to go. Jürgen Klinsmann with us. Jürgen, this is going to be quite a race.
Yeah, and this is the beauty of the end of the season, the last couple of weeks, you know, when it gets the fight for the Champions League spots, but also the relegation battle, and the relegation battle in the Bundesliga now is really very, very intense. I mean, there's Hertha Berlin that just had the whole team quarantined for 14 days. They need to recover those games within a very short amount of time. And then you had Mainz kind of being the biggest surprise, beating Bayern Munich and getting 3 points and try to get out of that relegation zone. So this is huge. I think, you know, Borussia Dortmund has the momentum now for the Champions League spot. This was a very, very big win on the weekend. And Haaland is back. We always love to talk about Erling Haaland, obviously. So it's going to be a real drama the next couple of weeks.
Two different goals for Haaland here, Jürgen Klinsmann. the fact that he just passed on the pass back here. But then this is just everything that is brilliant about Erling Haaland on the counter-attack.
Yeah, this is just beautiful to see how he kind of, it's a 70-yard run, and look at him now. So nobody is stopping him, totally determined. He knows now already where he's going to put the ball. This is his mindset. He kind of looks ahead and knows what to do in the next two or three or 4 seconds. And this puts Borussia Dortmund back in the race, and I think the momentum is on their side.
Yeah, you look at it now, your money would probably be on Dortmund, Jürgen, which you probably wouldn't have been a couple of weeks ago, to finish top four.
Yeah, exactly. I think now they really kind of chased back. They kind of looked at game by game. They calmed things down after, obviously, they announced that Marco Rose is going to be the new coach, you know, 6-8 weeks ago. And that kind of brought in a little bit of a turmoil. Now it all happened, for example, with Eintracht Frankfurt, because the general manager said he's going to leave. Then the coach said he's going to leave. And then the Mönchengladbach coach said he's going to leave. and so in Dortmund, everybody was quiet. Then and they said, let's get the points. Let's just focus on the points. You know. And then we talked, obviously, Erling Haaland up and down when he had his moment with Norway not scoring in three games. And now they're back. They're back on track and they're looking very, very strong.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
That's it then. That brings us to the end of today's show. Thank you very much, as always, for watching. We'll be back tomorrow for more. Be sure to stay tuned, though. Extra Time is next. Shaka and Frank answering your questions. Welcome in then to the latest edition of Extra Time. Thank you as always for your tweets. Shaka Hislop is with us, as is Frank LeBeuf. Frank, back from holiday. What happened to your beard on holiday? Did it fall off?
Mask for snorkeling, but the mask protects the old face.
Right.
But with the big beard, it allows the water to come in. So I shaved just for the mask, and I was on holiday, so I don't care. But he's going back.
Yeah, it's growing back.
He's going back there.
Can we say where you were? You were somewhere very nice for your holidays, weren't you?
I was in Maldives,
Oh, wow.
10 days. That was great.
And what was the highlight? Yeah. No, actually, what was the worst bit about the Maldives?
I'm still looking for it.
Right. Yeah,
everything was perfect.
And we weren't allowed to say you're on holiday in case you got robbed. And you didn't get robbed? No one robbed you in Paris while you were away?
No, everything is perfect.
Perfect.
No, no,
good.
No,
just
no,
your beard.
Was perfect when I came back. Just my beard, yeah.
Frank, is it boring to watch Manchester City win all the time? How many years away are we from having 2 to 3 teams compete versus them in the league?
No, it's not. It's not because I used to be very, very, how do you say,
against?
Mad at Pep Guardiola way of playing, you know, tiki-taki, I don't remember the name.
Yeah.
And he changed the way he played. It's more direct, it's more vertical. So it's a real pleasure to see that team playing. And if they win because they're better, you know, we have to accept that. You know, we saw Real Madrid and Barcelona winning all the time. Now they compete a little bit more, even if I think that Barcelona is going to win the championship. We see Paris struggling, but we've seen them winning for 10 years the title almost, Bayern Munich same time. It's only in England that we can see a big fight and a big title race. But at the end of the day, if Manchester City is the best team, like Liverpool were the best team last year, I think it's nice to see them winning all the time. They deserve it. I think it's just football.
Shaka, what's with the hysteria over Laporte's lack of sending off? If he gets the first yellow, the second isn't guaranteed to happen at all. He's a smart enough man enough to know that the second challenge, just as he didn't after the actual yellow he got.
That's a lot there.
That makes sense?
No.
So people are saying, he should have been booked earlier before he got his second yellow, so therefore should have been off, and therefore he shouldn't have scored the winner, and therefore Manchester City shouldn't have won the Carabao Cup, and Spurs would have won it, because then they would have won, of course, in penalties.
That's absolutely right, Dan.
So, what do you think? Psychologically, is it impossible to say, well, he would have definitely got a second yellow because he already knew he was on a yellow and then wouldn't have made that second mistake?
Of course it is. Listen, when you're a player and you get booked, you know what you can and cannot do from there on in. Your entire game changes. If you get away with one, you know I can still pick up a booking.
Right.
So, you know, to suggest that because the first card didn't come, he would automatically get the same and everything would work out the same, I find a little bit ridiculous.
One of the most striking scenes after the match was Son on the field crying. Yeah. Obviously, we saw City fans and Gareth Bale consoling.
He wasn't bothered.
Bale wasn't bothered.
Come on, I've got a tea time.
Shaka, do you think it's time for Son to consider his future at Spurs? He's arguably just as talented as Harry Kane and could walk into a lot of big clubs in Europe.
Listen,
he's not as talented as Harry Kane. I mean, we just
But Heung-min Son is an incredibly talented player that fits into almost any team in world football, almost. Now, that obviously is up to Son. He is at a big club. He is flourishing.
Flourishing, Shaq?
Well, he's playing well. And enjoying his football. And clearly,
he didn't enjoy today. He's crying.
Well, it means a lot. It shows that it means a lot, Dan. That's what happens. That when something means a lot to you, and you're denied that, you get a bit emotional.
Right.
It happens to people sometimes, Dan.
Right. Well, maybe he's fed up.
Don't take away the romance.
Exactly.
Shaka's story.
I don't think, as highly as I think of Son, I don't think he's going anywhere.
Why? Why wouldn't you want to leave Spurs? Why would you want to stay?
I don't think he's going anywhere. That
doesn't answer my question. If you're Son and you've got ambition and you want to win things, why are you staying there?
No, I can't. You can't put me in Son's shoes. We think differently, me and Son.
Oh, my crikey. Frank, with Chelsea's form and Real Madrid's form in mind, who would you say is favourites for the Champions League tie?
Ooh.
I think Real Madrid is a favorite because of the experience that they have, and when they reach that level in the Champions League, there is something special you know, arriving in the dressing room, I would say, happening in the dressing room, in a way that those players, they know that they're so strong and they know how it works, that they are pushed to the success. We don't know for Chelsea. Most players are very young, are inexperienced. They have the talent for sure and they can create a surprise. But really, realistically, when you see the two strengths, the two teams, you have to say Real Madrid because of the history of the club.
It's going to be brilliant, isn't it? These two Champions League matches should be fantastic. Should the FAs and UEFA start to regulate how many players a club can have on their payroll, Shaka, as there are so many players that not only stay in the reserves and waste money, but never ever once play a single minute for the club?
Then they start doing that. Then they start having a look at how clubs and player ownership, and I think one of the primary complaints was Chelsea, how many players they own and were putting out on loan. I'm sure they did, you know. I'll have to look that up, Dan.
So, what's the answer?
What was the question?
You need all the
He's on fire today, Shaka.
I do. I need to go to Maldives.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's nice out there.
It's nice. Hey, no, can't snorkel with a beard.
Oh, well, I'll keep that in mind.
With your beard issues.
Yes.
Frank. Which two young French centre... I love the way that this has put Frank in brackets, just in case I was going to ask Shaka this. Yeah. Which two young French centre-backs would you most like to build a team around? Upamecano, Koundé, Kimbembe, Konate, anyone else?
I will put Fofana.
Ah, yeah. You love Fofana.
He does.
I love Fofana. I think he has a great future. Upamecano, because Upamecano is going to sign for Bayern Munich, so I think he's going to go to another level of experience, and he's going to be the future. You have so many great centre back in France, and I'm pretty sure those two can do the future. But don't forget that Kimpembe is one of the greatest centre back right now in France, and you still have Varane. We don't know the future of Varane, but he's still there. We saw Laporte today. I mean, there are so many talented players, you know. So all the names are very good, but I would say Upamecano and Fofana.
Why does he hate Laporte, Frank?
Why what?
Why does Deschamps hate Laporte?
He doesn't hate Laporte. I think there was a... The circumstances made him not being with the national team because some other players were already there and they were in good shape. And when it could have been good for Laporte, Laporte was out of the Manchester City first 11. Mm. So maybe Deschamps didn't think it was the right time for Laporte to be with the national team. But nothing is closed and nothing is over for Laporte. He's talented, and if he keeps on playing like that, there is, it will be no other choices but
political.
For Deschamps to put him
a very political speak from Frank, wasn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, you could say Deschamps is his friend, and that's
time
all
in
that's
Maldives
all he
has. Done. You know, how old is Varane?
How old is Varane?
How old is Varane?
27?
So he's not that young, 27? Really. You still think of Varane as a young player.
What's Varane's age got to do with anything?
No, well, the question asked about young players, and Frank mentioned Varane, and then I was like, but Varane isn't really that young, but he's been around so long, you kind of forget, you know? These are the things
we forget a lot, Shaq.
These are just things I, that concern me, Dan.
Final question.
So Varane was born in 93. Well, Varane was born... today is his birthday, by the way. April 25th, 93.
There you are.
Yeah, see? So we're not 27, Dan. That's what you said.
No, happy birthday.
Well done.
What's it? Joyeux anniversaire. Oh, look at that.
Good Lord.
That's just perfect French from me.
Bravo.
Thank you.
No, don't encourage him, Frank.
Oh, it's beautiful.
No, it wasn't.
Yeah, it was good shit. The only reason I know that is because we did a video for Julien Laurent for his birthday, his 40th birthday, and Stevie said it after quite a few beers a number of times on a video that I had to edit to send to Jules.
Sure,
I'd love to show you that video, but we can't. Shaka, I'm getting ready to take a notoriously hard physics class, and you did the video naked, didn't you, Frank? For Jules, I'm just remembering this now.
This video's getting worse by the minute.
I'm just remembering this video. Yes!
Maybe, and I had no beer.
No, I know.
I need to be drunk to do that.
So you just chose that. I'm so mad.
Happy birthday, Jules. It's a treat. Right.
Right.
Let's get yeah. Go.
Shaka, I'm getting ready to take a notoriously hard physics class in college. Any advice for the former NASA expert?
B. The answer is always B.
Because here in the States, it's more multiple choice as opposed to...
Yeah, just go B.
B all the time?
Yes. In physics, you always go with B.
Wow, okay, I like it. Frank, were you particularly good at any subject at school?
History, geography.
Oh, the humanities.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Very nice. There you go.
Yes. Yeah, I almost went back to university in the United States to learn the history of United States because I'm very fond of that. Yeah.
Oh, then what happened?
Then I went back to France because I fell in love with a French girl. So I left America.
Beautiful.
That's it.
Hey.
Love.
What?
Oh, yeah.
And I married her. To finish the nice story.
Oh.
So your dreams were ruined.
What? Those dreams came true, Shaq.
No,
the dreams of history and geography.
I thought you meant getting married again ruined him.
Okay.
You can do that anytime.
Get married anytime. All right, then. There we are. That is it. That brings us to the end of today's show. Thank you very much to everyone who's... Great to have you back, Frank. I'm glad that you enjoyed your holiday.
Thank you.
Now you got to get to talk Manchester City Spurs, lucky you. We'll be back tomorrow for more Leicester in action. We'll be talking about that, how that will affect the top four in England, plus looking ahead to those brilliant Champions League ties, PSG against Manchester City, Chelsea against Real Madrid.